Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls, one goth. And before I forget, I'm going to start off the episode by asking you, the listener, the firstie, to please give us a review on iTunes. Mm-hmm. You know, we live off of reviews, off of good reviews. So if you like the show and you like Killing Time, you like The First Degree, let us know why you like it. Give us a five-star review and like a nice little message, you know, to start off the show.
Absolutely.
We love a good review.
Yes.
Absolutely. You know what? This is our whole lives. Validate us in some small way. Please, God.
We need constant validation.
Or just occasional. I mean, it's when you have a low self-esteem, it's all you have.
Mm. Yeah. It is very true. Uh-huh. So please, for all of our sake, leave us a nice message.
Thanks, friends.
We won't read the mean ones, though, anymore, right, Alexis?
I'm trying not to. I'm trying to stop.
She's trying.
Trying to stop. My therapist told me to stop.
Oh, Alexis. All right, Billy, what is our dark day for today?
All right, so today is August 19th. It's a light day and a dark day.
Okay.
And this is why.
Okay.
Because on August 19th, 2011, three men, Damian Echols, Jason Baldwin, and Jesse Miss Kelly, were released from prison in Arkansas. And they are known as the West Memphis Three.
Yes.
Now, they had been convicted in 1994 of murdering 3 8-year-old boys, Christopher Byers, Steve Branch, and Michael Moore. They always maintained their innocence. And honestly, Damian would have been executed because he was the one kid who had gotten the death penalty. If not for celebrities like Eddie Vedder and Johnny Depp and Metallica and the documentary on HBO.
Right.
So they were able to do that. So it's a light day, but it's also a dark day because they got free with an Alford plea. And the Alford plea says that we say that we did it, but we're not going to sue you. That's basically it. It's like
they're admitting fault.
They're admitting fault, but we're not going to sue the state, so the state doesn't have to be charged for incarcerating these people for a decade.
Jesus.
That's what they were able to do. So it's a dark day with that, and it's also a dark day because there's still no justice for these 3 8-year-olds who were murdered.
Damn. That is a dark day. Didn't Metallica let them use their music for free on the documentary?
They did.
Yes. I love that.
That is... crazy.
Mm-hmm. That is some real charity.
Mm-hmm.
Some true charity.
All the money that they really
fantastic.
Needed.
Yeah. No, it's so you know what? They believed in it, and these kids were, you know,
into Metallica and into metal, and that's basically why they were, you know, typecast into being murderers.
Particularly Damian, and they zeroed in on Damian. And he was a kid that was just into metal and into, you know, wearing black t-shirts and all of that. And they said, you know what? That's the kid that did it.
That's so fucking insane.
So messed up.
So we are going to dive into the whole satanic panic later on in this episode. But this was a great example of just how shit gets so
twisted
and just goes used to, well, and still does, can just go to the extreme.
Yeah.
And people are really grasping at straws as to why and attaining or assigning value and assigning a reason why something happened.
Totally.
It's a load of bullshit.
Sorry.
That was gorgeous.
Well, Jack had like, she called for me to give a resounding harmonizing voice. I was like, whoa, who are you? And I couldn't stop myself.
I loved it. No, it was really beautiful and like
thank you.
Soft.
Thank you.
And just a little
I'm
shy.
Capable of a little bit of softness.
Yes, I love that.
Somewhere.
The right. Tank can be soft.
The soft tank.
Soft fuzzy tank.
The soft fuzzy tank. Okay, well, when we come back, we have got some bitching to do.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead? Guilty or not guilty?
All right, welcome to On the Stand for this... For this segment of our podcast, each of us are bringing a topic to the table and we're either defending or prosecuting it. We're either passionate about it or it just grinds our gears. And then we'll vote at the end if it's guilty or not guilty. And then we bring it to our firsties on Instagram. So if you're not following us on Instagram, you need to, because we need each and every vote to make sure that we're not off base.
Correct.
About the things that we love or hate in our lives.
That's right.
So Alexis, you go first.
I will go first. I have two here listed as potentials, but since I'm going first, I have no basis to what I should choose my two options based on. So, all right. I'm going with orange juice.
Okay.
Pulp or no pulp?
Now, what are you?
I'm going to say I like pulp.
You like a pulpy orange juice?
Yes. The pulpier, the better. I like a craft cocktail. I like when I can taste the basil in the cocktail. I like when the basil is blended into it. I like when mint's in the cocktail, like mojito. Like I like the plant, the truth of the plant that's in the drink involved. I like pulp. It makes it seem fresher and more reminiscent of the
actual orange itself.
Yeah, I love pulp. It just makes it taste fresher to me.
I can agree. When I was younger, I hated a pulpy orange juice. Mm-hmm. I wanted no pulp. But to your point, I love an earthy drink.
Yes.
I mean, I love a natural wine where you can taste the sediment at the
and
bottom.
It tastes a little bit like a mushroom. You're like, what am I drinking exactly?
Yeah. I'm like, is there dirt in my wine glass? More, please.
Yes.
A little sprinkle
the
more.
The realer,
would be great.
The better. Yeah. You like this crunchy granola wine.
Yes. But I mean, there are certain things in life that I don't like too honest. An honest meat, for example.
Yeah, Jacqueline. Sometimes I'm like, you want a bite of my chicken meal? And she's like, let me examine it. And then she looks at it and she'll be like, this looks too much like chicken for me. I would rather a processed nugget than this honesty.
Yes.
So yes, Jack doesn't like the truth of meats.
No, but I like the truth of fruits and vegetables. So I love a pulpy orange. I mean, just get some orange rind in there if you're really feeling, you know, crazy.
Right down in there.
So I say pulp, not guilty. Is that what we're saying? Pulp, orange juice with pulp?
Pulp, not guilty.
All right,
Billy can't drink orange juice.
I do not drink orange juice because of my interstitial cystitis.
What?
Interstitial cystitis. He doesn't drink orange juice or tomato juice or red wine.
Yes.
Or coffee.
Yes.
My God, life's greatest pleasure.
Yes, I know. But that's what
Ouch.
I do. And if there's anybody out there that suffers from the same affliction.
He has no citrus.
Yes. And, but,
or super acidic.
Yeah.
But before
Wait, can you eat chocolate?
A little bit.
I've been able to introduce
it into my.
You don't like chocolate?
I know. I love chocolate.
He likes sweets. Yeah. He likes like ice cream, but he doesn't want a dark chocolate square. He wants a Friendly's. He wants like a chocolate. He wants like a sundae.
Or like I saw like your like little sour jelly
he
candies.
He likes like weird Pixie sticks and shit.
You know what? Why are you
like a
looking
Sour
at,
Patch Kid?
Do not look at my stuff. All right.
Don't invite us in your home then, William.
Or Alexis is going to go through your closet.
Yes. Which has happened.
I've already gone through every drawer in this house.
So, yes.
I wish I was joking, but come on.
So, you know what? Not guilty, but unless you actually have a physical ailment.
Okay.
Thank you.
Billy, do you want to go? Did you need to steal one from Alexis?
You know what? I'm going to say this right now because...
You're
saying the things that you're for or against.
Yes.
There's something that gives me so much joy. And I think that your generation, it doesn't happen.
I'm bracing myself for this.
And it's print. It's magazines.
Okay.
I just ordered about five different magazines on Amazon. It's like Esquire, GQ.
I saw them very overtly displayed on your
Wait,
counter
we,
when you were coming over.
Are we talking current ones? Like the
current one.
The August 2021 issue of Esquire?
Yes.
Okay.
And then they said, I love magazines. I love seeing your stuff in print. I love seeing other people's
well,
stuff
you're
in
a journalist.
Print.
You like seeing your own stuff in print.
I understand that, but I like seeing other people's stuff in
Whose?
Print.
Whose things are you watching in Esquire and like what are you talking about?
You know what? Because here's,
fellow journalists.
Because here's the thing about print is that you can't change it. You got to make sure that
yes.
it's true, and that's what you want to say. So it goes through a bunch of different filters. That's what I love, and that's what I want everybody else that's listening to this to embrace.
I do agree. I think that there is something to holding something in your hands that we just completely miss with yes. everything digital.
I'm going to agree. I love collecting books. I collect magazines, really cool ones that mm-hmm. I've come across. I love print media, you know? It's a shame that we don't have more.
Yes.
So I think for once, Billy, good on the stand.
That was a good on the stand.
Yeah.
And I mean, I can't imagine anybody that would say it's guilty.
Not guilty.
Everybody collects something like yeah. that, you mm-hmm. know, because they're, and then you think of, I mean, I collect old books and then you have other people's annotations in those books and then it has other people's life and mm-hmm. their little bits of their soul scattered throughout it, which mm-hmm. I think is something special that is only exists in that one single piece that
yes.
you have.
I love that.
I love it. Not
right, so.
Guilty. Great job, Billy.
Good job,
look,
Billy.
Thank you.
You brought a great topic to On the Stand.
I did it. Stop. They're touching me, people. They're touching me. HR.
Not there. Alexis.
HR.
It's Alexis, not me. I'm far away from Billy.
I was trying to tickle him to raise his energy, but he didn't even give in.
No, he didn't give in. On the Stand today is cereal a soup?
And wow.
This is very interesting. So
yes.
Merriam-Webster says, soup is defined as a liquid food, especially with a meat, fish, or vegetable stock as a base and often containing pieces of solid food.
Meat, fish, vegetable. Okay.
Solid,
it says a liquid
food,
especially. It doesn't say exclusively.
Mm-hmm. Especially.
So when you think about cereal, I mean, it has all the fixings to be a soup. It
Dude,
comes in a bowl.
The milk is meat-based.
You eat it. Wow, I actually never thought
if
about
it was,
that.
If you use dairy milk, that's a meat-based stock.
That is a...
And it's disgusting when you think about it.
A meat stock in a bowl, eaten with a spoon. You have your liquidy base, meat base. And then you...
Little bits in there.
Little bits of things. Now, if that's a grain or if that's a vegetable, you decide. But I think that cereal
corn
might
pops
be...
or puffs. That's a vegetable. A corn.
Yes.
That is some fucking soup. Breakfast soup.
So that's meat soup with vegetables in it. It's basically a chicken tortilla soup.
Oh my God. 100% soup.
First of all, I want to say, how dare you?
All right, Billy. Well, you're not saying anything.
And no, cereal is not a soup.
Well,
why
based
not?
On
cereal,
Merriam-Webster, it is.
Cereal is a experience. Cereal is something that... originally, you would have, and I'm talking about sugar cereals, on Saturday morning when you were in a blanket fort eating your cereal, watching cartoons. That is one of the most purest things that you could ever
most
do.
Pure. Most purest isn't it?
How dare you?
I'm just telling you, if I was a woman and I said that, I
really?
Would be corrected several times.
Okay. Well, so Billy thinks of you, you think of cereal as the experience, which is interesting. Going back to, is hot dog a sandwich?
That it's nostalgia based.
Well, no, your whole argument for hot dog being a sandwich is the experience of having a hot dog.
Yeah.
Right? So Billy is talking about the experience of having a cup of cereal or a bowl of cereal, I mean.
A bowl of cereal. Who's having a cup of cereal?
I would.
What
I only need a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I know. Seriously. That's why you don't know. Listen. How crazy is it that Count Chocula was available, the whole year? It was available. There was a cereal that certainly should have been available for only September and October. It was around 12 months out of the year.
Because wasn't it just Cocoa Puffs?
You would,
that's right.
No, you would pour it in You would eat it, and then you would feel some sort of euphoria. You might have a prize inside that box, which is one of the greatest things ever. Let me tell you something.
We're getting so off topic.
Must actually, we still go?
No. Let me.
We're only on this. Jack hasn't done hers yet.
No.
This is mine.
Have you done yours?
No.
Billy done his?
Let me ask you something.
So this is the last one. Fuck.
All right. So all of your food things. I'm sorry. Do you get toys with your food? No, you
Billy,
don't.
This is not the point. You have a box of cereal that looks like it's because your cabinets have little see-through windows.
Look at
him.
He's breathing heavy. Mm-hmm. He's like, fuck, what does she know?
And it looks like one of your cereal boxes is squished in there, it like to the brim, that if you open it up, it will just spill out. So do you?
You don't respect your own cereal.
No, it's literally like that episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm that Larry doesn't respect wood. Or no, he is mad at people for not respecting
like, the wood.
Do you respect cereal?
The wood.
You know what? Let me just tell you this.
No. How much longer do you have? Because we have to move on.
I know. No. I'm not going to talk about it now.
Great.
I'll put it in a separate.
Yes, in a cereal table box. That some, a for separate, some other time.
A separate Instagram
hey,
video.
Hey, will you just set us up for the next thing then?
Yeah.
That's mine.
Because we're going to talk about Satanic Panic, and I'm going to... You people are entirely... You people are devil.
Oh my
devil.
God.
Devil people.
When I was growing up, I took French in high school, but I could never get the language to stick. I wanted to be fluent so bad, but it never happened. I just couldn't focus and I couldn't practice enough and it didn't work. But thankfully, there's Rosetta Stone, which is the most trusted language learning program, and it's available on desktop or it can be used as an app on your phone or tablet. Rosetta Stone is different. It immerses you in so many ways. And with its intuitive process, you can pick up any language naturally, first with words, then phrases, and then sentences. And before you know it, boom, conversations. Plus, with Rosetta Stone's true accent feature, you'll get feedback on how well you're pronouncing words. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, the First Degree listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/first. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/first today. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for all of your springtime goals. If you don't have time, Factor's ready-to-eat meals are on the table in 2 minutes. So you just get to eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, cleaning up. You really just heat and savor the good stuff without all of the stress. You can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. Plus, you can pause and reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution to premium, fast meals without the need for cooking. And they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. I'm so busy, so it's amazing to just have Factor meals in the fridge for whenever I realize that I'm starving and I don't have any time to cook anything. They're amazing, they're healthy, and they keep you fueled all day long. Head to factormeals.com/degree50 and use code degree50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month. That's degree50 at factormeals.com/degree50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Hey, there's no reason to feel sad or guilty about the things you aren't using anymore. Whether it was a fancy dress you wore to a gala, expensive heels that only go with one of your outfits, or that crossbody bag from when you were in your music festival era. Somebody out there wants what you don't, and the real makes it easy to get it to them. When your past becomes their future, everyone wins, especially the planet. For the real, Earth Month isn't just another month. It's what they do every day. At any given moment, they're finding new homes for over 1 million unique items within their community of 35 plus million people. They're the largest luxury reseller in the world and making a tangible difference towards a more sustainable future for fashion. Resale reduces the amount of fashion waste in landfills, lowers greenhouse gas emissions, and offers an alternative to the cycle of consumption propagated by fast fashion. The RealReal has kept over 37 million items in circulation and out of landfills. This month only, new shoppers get 20% off when they shop on therealreal.com using code FIRST. That's therealreal.com using the code FIRST.
True crime.
Yeah, it's rewind time.
So welcome to True Crime Rewind, and we're going to take you back to the early 1980s, when America was inundated with the idea that there were hundreds of thousands of devil worshipers operating in the country. Now, how did this happen? And I will ask the two millennial women that I'm sitting next to right now, how many devil worshipers do you think are in America right now?
Probably a lot. I'd say probably a lot.
There are probably more than there used to be because of the internet, but probably not as many as people thought there were back in the day.
All right,
see,
so
I think there are tons, but I don't think they're dangerous.
No.
Okay. All right, so there were hundreds.
It depends on what study you have.
They thought that hundreds of thousands, and this has been primed, obviously, throughout history, because you had the good and evil, God and the devil. But then in the 60s, this is what started happening. You had the Manson murders.
Mm-hmm.
You had Zodiac Killer. You had Rosemary's Baby. You had Anton LaVey and the Satanic Bible. So you're starting to prime the pump of like, wow, there's this like devil stuff here. Then in the 70s, you had The Exorcist, Son of Sam. Then in the 80s, you had heavy metal go mainstream.
Yeah.
Now, when heavy metal like really went mainstream, there was a thing called the Parents Music Resource Center. And one of the persons that was head of this was Tipper Gore, who is Al Gore's wife.
Right.
And they actually listed 15 songs that were on their list of like, these are songs that will corrupt the children of America. Now, one of these songs, or actually two of these songs, were about sex. Darling Nikki by Prince. You know that song?
Mm-hmm.
Cyndi Lauper's Shebop,
mm,
which are both about masturbation. And the other songs...
Shebop is great for that.
Yes.
Like,
Shebop,
Shebop is like a perfect fucking title for a girl masturbation song.
So the other songs...
Oh my God, wait, sorry. It's like, listen to any song today, every song is about something fucked up.
Yes, I love that.
The other songs were about drugs and alcohol, and then there were songs about the occult.
Yeah.
So they lumped in sex, drugs and alcohol, and the occult. And there were bands like Merciful Fate and Venom. So you had all these people, including like congressional hearings about satanic panic. And you had all these people believing in the devil, and the devil had soldiers marching in America. And law enforcement bought into this. And there's actually videos of law enforcement that they used to try and teach other law enforcement about Satan and how Satan was permeating all of their communities.
Which is, looking back, the craziest fucking shit in the world.
Mm-hmm.
That law enforcement had these specialty units for satanic cults and how to deal with them.
Totally.
So this is what happened to the West Memphis Three, who we talked about at the beginning of the show and who were released on this day in 2011. Now, we had a lot of other cases of like, this is Satan. This is somebody that is into Satan. There was the case from where me and Alexis grew up on Long Island, the Ricky Casso case, which was the case of a guy. And the book was called Say You Love Satan because they said that, like, he killed somebody because he wanted to say, he wanted the person to say you love Satan. It was an acid deal that went wrong. All right. And by the way, they spelled Satan wrong on the gazebo in Northport. They spelled it Satin. So it said Satin lived instead of Satan lived.
I love Satin.
You know, there was the, There were the killings of the three women in Fall River in 1970 and 1980. But then the absolute worst was the case of the McMartin preschool case. And this was one that happened. So McMartin preschool was a preschool in Manhattan Beach, California. And in 1983, a mother of one of the students, and her name was Judy Johnson, told police that her son had been sodomized by a teacher at the school. But that teacher also happened to be her estranged husband. So then they started interviewing this kid, and then they interviewed more kids. And then they interviewed more kids and more kids, and then they started to cobble together this thing that seven teachers were kidnapping children, flying them to another location, and forcing them to engage in group sex slash being, you know, raped and abused. And they were also forced to, like, look at animals being tortured and all this jazz. Now, the interviewing techniques that were used were highly suspect, and they were looked at as being, like, led into, you know, these ideas. The case lasted 7 years, no charges. All the charges were dropped. And then it turned out actually to be the longest and most expensive trial in American history. It took $15 million to figure this out.
Well, this is what I think is interesting about the whole satanic panic with, there was a lot of like preschool, daycare type of situations happening with the satanic panic. The McMartin one was just like the most expensive and the most widespread.
Prominent, yeah.
But when you think about why, in the 70s and 80s, it was like when moms that had professional jobs had their kids and were actually starting to go back to work after they had their kids. So it's like now they're leaving their kids with strangers or people that they don't know. And then once the satanic panic idea starts taking hold, they're like, wait a second. Well, where am I leaving my kid? Is my kid being like ritualistically abused or whatever it is?
And then they're asking their kids leading questions like, have you been touched? Well, yeah, my teacher leads me by the hand to nap time. But like, if you ask kids leading questions, they'll give you the answers you want.
Well, and I was listening to
a
podcast about satanic panic, and it was like a lot of what was said that these teachers were doing to these kids was what you would think that a 3 or 4 year old might make up when it's like, what is this? What's a crazy situation that you can describe?
Yeah.
Where there was another preschool that they're saying that the kids watched sharks in a swimming pool eat baby parts and stuff like that, where it was like, what's a fantastical thing that like a 3 year old would make up?
Right.
Totally.
But then also with all that, I mean, there were all these segments all in the media, like Oprah, Geraldo Rivera was doing this like 10 part series on satanic panic, where it was like that they're being like journalists
feeding right into it and validating it, which it didn't deserve it.
No. And it's like, and now these people think that this is a reality when it's like the most fabricated, fucked up, crazy shit ever.
Totally.
Now, everything was discredited for the McMartin case and for pretty much every other case. Even when you're talking about Son of Sam.
There's nothing that's ever really...
But
there hasn't been a case proven to be an actual satanic ritualistic killing. And then when there has been, it's almost like a life imitating art sort of a thing where it's, oh, I saw this thing, so now I'm going to imitate it.
Sure. And this may sound crazy for anybody that's young that's listening to this, but and it's like, this is before the internet. Like, how could they do this? Oh, if the internet was there, they would have figured out that like there was no Satanism or anything like that. But this shit is happening still, and it's happening today, and it's happening QAnon and Pizzagate. And
no, it's just the modern day satanic panic,
exactly,
disguised as something different.
And it's been morphed into something that is a little bit more political, and it's been morphed into something a little bit more that's tribal. And they're saying that, like, oh no, there's cabals that are kidnapping kids and taking them and then killing them in satanic rituals. Sure. And that's what Pizzagate is. Yeah, and it's total fucking bullshit.
Yeah,
but that's what I think is interesting. Back in the day, it was your neighbor that was doing it, but now it's like powerful elites. Mm-hmm. It's just an interesting shift of blame of who is the person responsible for this thing that doesn't exist.
Totally.
That people are trying to like place a blame on.
Totally.
But modern day Satanism, go watch the QAnon documentary on HBO. It is fucking insane.
Totally. And coming up.
Yes.
We're going to do your firsty worsty and hear the worst things you've ever done in your entire life. As a reminder, 323-539-3516.
Wow, you just jumped right ahead. We got to go to a commercial break right now.
That's right. Just a reminder before we go there.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
You are a horrible person.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
So, we are ready for firsty worsties, the worst things you've ever done in your entire life. We love you guys. What you think you've done that's terrible, it's not as bad as you think. Let us validate you. Call us. Leave us a message. The whole thing about leaving your name, we didn't even know that was a thing. We can't hear it. It's anonymous. Don't worry about that. 323-539-3516. All right. On to the firsty of the worsties.
Hi. I'm here to tell you something very bad that I did, the worst thing I've done, in recent memory at least. And so essentially what happened was I was dating this guy. He was probably the sexiest guy I've ever dated. This was a few years ago. I was like head over heels for him. And, you know, it's worth saying that we were exclusively dating. Like, we were not just sleeping together. We were not a casual thing. Like, we were dating, not for a super long time, probably 6 months or so. But I was like very into him, under the impression that he felt the same way about me, and everything was going really, really well. And then he traveled a lot for work, and, he was out of town for a couple weeks. And when he came back, I saw him right away. I always would pick him up from the airport, which, as you know, LAX is far away. So that's a relationship thing for sure. So I picked him up from the airport and we had a wonderful night. He was saying, you know, how he was in love with me and he wanted to, you know, I heard the term later on, but he was basically love bombing me, which I didn't really know at the time. I do now. But anyway, it was a couple of days after that. We both were working a lot, so we would usually only see each other like 2 or 3 times a week. But I would go stay the night, and we would make dinner. We spent New Year's together. We did all these things. Anyway, he texted me one night and said, "Hey, babe, I miss you. Like, do you want to come over tomorrow night? You know, I'm going to get off early," because he would often work late. "Like, I'm going to get off early tomorrow night. Does that work for you? You know, come over tomorrow, stay the night with me, maybe stay the weekend, maybe we'll go camping, this, that, you know." I'm like, "Yeah, that sounds great. Can't wait to see you," you know. So I work the next day, and then, like, in midday, I text him, and I say, "Hey, you know, you still down for tonight?" And no response. And that wasn't super strange for him to not respond immediately to a text. Because, like I said, he worked a lot, so it would often be a couple hours before I'd get a response. So I didn't think anything of it at first, but then as the night went on and I was like, you know, it's like 7 p.m., 8 p.m., I'm like, "Do you still want me to come over?" You know, I didn't send a million texts, but I did send a few. And then finally I'm like, "Hey, I'm kind of worried about you. Like, you know, it's cool if you don't want to hang out tonight, but, like, just let me know that you're okay." And he never did. And I literally never heard from him again. He completely ghosted me out of nowhere. You know, if I didn't know any better, I would think he was dead. The only reason I know he wasn't dead is because he was still liking all my Instagram posts and watching all my Instagram stories. Like every time I posted a story, he would watch it in like 1 minute. And I just thought that was so strange because he wouldn't, I reached out to him, I emailed him, I texted him, I called him, I reached out to him on Instagram Messenger, and you know, everything he was reading, he was seeing my messages. I know he was alive. He just wouldn't respond. And it's like, okay, I get it. If you're not into me anymore, just tell me. But it was just so strange the way he went from 100 to 0 so quickly. Like, he was like, I can't wait to see you. I miss you. I love you. Da-da-da-da. To just, boom, never talk to you again. So I was pissed and very hurt. So I got a bunch of, like, professionally made missing persons posters and a huge stack of them, and I posted them all over his neighborhood. And I feel very guilty about that. I feel like it was not a good thing to do, but at the same time, I hope he saw one of them, you know? I also feel bad about, like, how much paper it wasted. I spent so much time doing it. I don't know. It was just, it was a messed up thing to do. And I don't know if I regret it though. Anyway, have a great day. Bye.
If somebody is missing, a poster is required. Like, maybe you need, listen, you did the responsible thing, my friend. Like, somebody was missing and you, a call to action was made and you met it.
Well, he wasn't necessarily missing because
he was missing to her.
He was liking all of her posts and he was posting and all that jazz. So
he's missing.
I mean,
don't ghost
chicks.
I
wouldn't say this is the worst thing you've ever done, but
it's bold and I like it.
It's a bold move.
And Molly, like, if we've met, can you message me? Like, I miss you. Like, I want to reconnect. Is this your real name? Like, I want to know more.
Yeah, for sure. At least you learned a little bit of psychopathic behavior and narcissistic personality behavior, the love bombing and then the disappearing. It's a textbook behavior.
Oh girl, I've been through it so many times. And it's why now people are afraid of me because I understand all of the moves.
Oh,
and
dear.
I am the moves. I'm in the retaliatory moves.
Oh, okay.
Come at me, bro.
All right. What's our next one?
Onward and upward. Not that yours wasn't good, Molly. You're perfect.
Well, hello. I thought I would call in to tell you guys the worst thing I have ever done. And it's pretty bad, and I'm pretty sure this is the first time that I'm actually saying it out loud to anybody. So about 10 years ago, I just went through a divorce, and I was dating and just kind of enjoying life, having fun. And one weekend, I was on Tinder. And one weekend, this, like, guy had popped up on my Tinder. Long story short, he was in town for a wedding, and he lived across the country from me. So he was not local. So we decided to hang out, and he was super fun, and we had a great time. He actually wind up missing the wedding that he flew across the country for to hang out with me. So he was on everybody's shit list from the wedding. But anyways, we wound up hooking up and lots of times that night. And the next day he flew back across the country. I had his name and I had his phone number and that was it. We didn't talk anymore. So a week later, I have a guy friend in town who I'd known pretty much my whole life, went to high school with, and he was single all the time. I was single all the time. We wind up hooking up that weekend. So fast forward a couple weeks later, I find out that I am pregnant. So I went to the doctor and found out exactly when I had conceived, and it was with the guy from across the country. So I had texted him and let him know, and he was kind of an ass and didn't really care and just told me to take care of it. Basically, he wasn't going to contribute any money or help or be supportive in any way, shape, or form. So this is when I really was stupid and all right, so I got an idea to call the other guy who I hooked up with a week later. Probably know where this is going. And I had told him that I was pregnant and it was his, and that I didn't want to, you know, go through with the pregnancy, and he was supportive, and he came down to see me. He took me to the appointment, paid for everything.
We didn't get an end to the story.
No, it cut off, but I will say, I think that anyone who rushes to any sort of judgment, I think you need to realize, like, the burden that women carry in the, like, the past that men get, where they don't even have to know if somebody they've impregnated is pregnant. And,
yeah,
like,
and they can literally just be like, fuck you,
like, nah,
I don't care.
I'm good. I'm good. And a woman's going to be like, I either seek legal recourse or I figure my own shit out.
Yeah.
So it's like, girlfriend, like, there's no judgment. And the guy who you probably blamed it on has probably gotten a different girl pregnant.
And also said, fuck you, deal with it to
her,
too.
Yeah, it's just like, women are in an impossible situation. It's impossible to judge you for this.
Yeah.
Because it's like, we're always alone in this. Like, if you're not married to somebody and planning a child, it's on fucking you.
Yeah.
And you feel bad. You don't want to burden the guy, or, like, you don't want them to this or that. It's so irritating that the dude who opted out, who was across the country, just can do that. That and irritates then, the fuck out of me.
And then put you in a situation where that was had to be an option for you to take as well.
Yeah. No, exactly. And I just think before anyone, their knee jerk might be like, dishonesty, this, that. What about the fucking abandonment of responsibilities of the guy across the country, or the abandonment of responsibilities whenever a man gets a woman pregnant and pieces out? Like,
yeah,
we're left with all this shit alone all the time.
Yeah.
And I judge you not. I think you are badass, and it's very scary to be in that situation on your own. And you should never have to feel that way. And men don't know what it even feels like to be in that situation.
Mm-hmm. No.
So, girl, judgment free. Don't feel bad about that. Our system is not set up to support us, and you did the best you could.
Yeah.
Your friend who pulled through for you, that dude.
Yeah.
He's a good guy. Good on him.
No, exactly.
Good on him. And you know what? He
that good karma. That karma is going to come back to him at some point. Yeah.
Well, and it's not like you went through with a pregnancy and then lied to him about his child.
No, you wanted some support through your abortion, which is terrifying, which I think people also underestimate the crippling emotional effects of those. And you know what? You shouldn't have been alone. And you did your best. And we're women in these situations are up against crazy situations.
Yeah, you're left to impossible choices, really, at the end of the day. So,
and we carry so much of this shit. And every woman who's listening, who's been in a similar situation or done a similar thing, absolve yourself of the guilt.
Yes.
We carry so much shit for men and women on our own backs. Like, absolve yourselves. We're doing our best. You did your best. Onward and upward.
All right, well, Alexis,
oh,
I believe it is time for you to send us off into the night.
I don't know. This is an amazing... okay. I want to say I'm proud of this one, but then I'm like, I'm not proud of this one. Like, I don't know.
Okay.
It could go either way. This one is titled Jerry's Ex-Girlfriend.
Okay.
Again, this is coming from the voice of George Costanza.
Yes. This is the Costanza stanza.
That's right. Yeah. The Costanza stanza. Yeah. I mean, if you listen, you know. She's raven-haired with curls. Mm. She's not like other girls. When she dances, she flails her arms. I become entranced and at the same time alarmed. I'm kind of afraid of her. And Jerry, he dated her. Is it wrong to yearn? My passion, it burns.
Oh.
For you, my loins are inflamed. For what it's worth, I love you, Elaine.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Well, remember when George fell in love with Elaine when she did the sexy voice at Jerry's stand-up? He was, like, secretly in love with Elaine. I wanted to bring the big salad into it.
Yes.
And I just didn't. No, but next time.
That's great because it's, like, the little surprise at the ending.
Ooh, little surprise.
I love that.
Bye, bitches. Bye-bye.
Dunkin' Cold Coffee can be brewed at home in your Keurig coffee maker with Dunkin' Cold K-Cup Pods. Just brew it hot over ice and enjoy flavor that's crafted to serve cold. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.